Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas. Welcome back to the Super Mama Sisterhood. I am your co-host, Bricia Lopez, Paulina's sister, mom of two, a six-year-old, five-year-old boy, almost six-year-old boy, and a seven-month little girl. Just out here trying to be the best me.
Oh,
trying to, what is it? What did they say? I saw this Instagram post that said, live in the intersection of living in the intersection of ambition and parenthood.
I love that. I saw that. You share that on your Instagram.
Trying to run a couple businesses and cook for my family and breastfeed and homeschool and, you know.
Not going crazy.
Be healthy, exercise, drinking water, roll on my face.
I should roll out your face.
I'm rolling on my face right now.
Well, hello, guys. I am Paulina. I am Bricia's sister. I am also a mom of three little girls, not so little anymore. And I have a dog, too, and a husband. And also...
Right, I have a dog, too, right now. I also got a husband. I got one of those.
You got one of those. And yeah, we're just trying to survive and, you know, improve and be a better version of ourselves every day. If you're new to the show, welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello to our longtime listeners, ladies. Thank you for putting up with all of our nonsense. And if you don't follow us already, please do so on Instagram and Twitter at @_supermamas, Facebook, Supermamas Podcast, and supermamas.com on the web. You can also send us a message at hello@supermamas.com or call us and leave us a voicemail at 424-326-3707. And stay tuned at the end of the show for our favorite segment, the pick or tip of the week, #AddToCart. So, sister, how's what? ¿Por qué estás tan estresada? What's been going on?
Oh no, I'm not stressed. It's just regular life. I got this new roller. It's not new. I got it back in January. It was like the last thing I bought. On December 31st, I just said, okay, I'm gonna splurge on two things because again, I'm going on my not buying anything for myself fast, but you know, really going back to my saving money. So I bought this roller that I have seen on Instagram for so like, you know, one of those things that they just
get. The Target it.
Instagram just gets me. And everybody who is a beauty person understands who Nurse Jamie is. And she has this roller. So I got her face roller and I realized it's here by my bed and I hardly use it. So I'm like, you know what? Every time I'm in a phone call or doing something, I have to get in the habit of rolling out my face. And I think it's just, you know, sometimes when Eduardo, my son, doesn't listen, when I get impatient, I'm not having enough patience with him, my like right on top of my right eyebrow, it starts to like hurt a little bit, so I have to like roll it out because otherwise my resting bitch face is like right here, like this is like the resting bitch face touch point or whatever they say. So just rolling it out so it goes away.
Yeah, smoothing it out at the end of the day, you know.
Just smoothing it out, putting it back in its place. Yeah, I think at this point I'm not stressed. It's just I'm learning to live. I'm telling you, I'm really working on myself. My coach has been great, releasing emotions. You know, it is what it is, sister. What else can I do?
It is what it is.
I'm just happy again when food essential workers get vaccines and I'm out of here. So I'm just looking forward to it. My husband are almost narrowing down two locations where we want to go. So we're just so excited.
You know what? I actually, you know, me contagié de lo que dijiste last week. And my husband is turning 40 this year. And he was going to go alone to see his parents, and I was like, well, if you're going to go, I'm just going to go too. I mean, make it a thing, you know? And so,
but does he want you to go? I mean, maybe he wants to go by himself.
I don't care if he doesn't want me to go. I'm going. He was thinking about going, and then his birthday was like falling in the middle of it. And I was like, you're not going to be here on your birthday? On your 40th birthday? You're not going to spend your 40th birthday with me? And he was like, oh, no, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I've already spent half of my life with you, woman. What's one day? I'm trying to get away from you.
Nah. He loves me too much to leave me behind. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm going to Oaxaca. I don't, you know, he doesn't have to be with me. I'll go to Mitla. I'll stay.
Mom and dad are going to be here when you go.
They're going to be here. But you know what? Oaxaca's Oaxaca. I want to eat.
Yeah.
I want to go have a mamela. I want my kids to see, like, you know, aire puro. I want them to see like endless roads with nothing. And I'm excited to start planning that. And I'm going to make it a thing. I'm going to go, even if he doesn't want me to go, I don't care. Plus I actually
do you, boo. You do you.
Yeah. And, that's what's been happening. You know, same thing. Also just trying to work on my sanity and, working out really hard. Wait, I don't get presumir algo because, like, I showed my husband today, and I was so proud of myself.
Mira tu conejito.
I have a little bunny. For the first time in my life, he touched it, and he was like, "Okay." And I was like, "I've been with you for 18 years. When have you ever touched muscle in my body like that?" He was like, "No, you're right."
What about when you were doing the challenge? You didn't have muscles back then. I felt like you did.
I did the challenge for 6 weeks. How much muscle?
That's true. You're like, I mean, you're like really killing it. I'm so proud of you. And like, you're looking great. Yeah. I mean, that's like a legit muscle that you have in your arm right there.
You guys can see it, but I actually have a muscle. I have a muscle right here.
Yeah. And you can see the line. That's like, that's so awesome.
Yeah. I feel great. I feel great. It's work. It's the result of like a lot of work. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love Peloton so much. It's just that I can see, it's a lot of work, but I see the mm-hmm. results. You know, my legs are, you know, also like I see muscles on my legs. And I've always been very conscious about my arms. And, you know, I started just putting work on my arms because I wanted to have leaner arms and stronger arms. And the other day I did like a minute and a half plank, and I was like, wow. I know. So I'm really proud of myself. I mean, I still have a long way to go.
I'm proud of you too. So proud of you. So it's a lot, you know, it's a lifetime commitment. It's not a once and done situation. You know, it's for the rest of your life. So it's so great. And then you'll see the results, and it'll be, and then it's like muscle's the best to have, because even if you fall off, there's muscle memory. So you will just jump back on it, and, you know, and I'm so proud of you. Do you have a regimen? Like, I'm curious to know like what your regimen is. Like, do you have a pattern, or how do you choose what workout you're going to do?
So I usually do, most of the days I do a lot of, you know, biking. I do biking, and then I do either upper body weights or lower body weights, or core. Like, so I do like, you know, bike upper, bike middle, bike done. And then like I do a full day of just like stretching and recovering. And I also, what I started doing last week was also including low impact, right? Like in the middle, because one of the girls was saying that as much as you push your body to go to the like really hard classes, you should also do just endurance, which is just mm-hmm. like slow strength, and just for like to build endurance. So that's what I'm doing. And I think at this point it already became a habit. Like, it doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm like, I have to get on the bike. And if it's five in the morning or 10 PM or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, I have to get on the bike. And even if it's for like 20, 30 minutes, I usually do, you know, 45 to an hour. But it's, you know, it's just a habit that it already formed. So I'm really, really, really happy with what I'm seeing, you know, the changes that I'm seeing in my body. And also, I know it's so basic, but realizing like, oh my God, like look at the results for all the work. So, you know, applying that to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
it. So awesome.
Yeah. And then
also, like, I want to give out a shout out to our Super Mamas leaderboard.
Yes.
Let me check, because I check every morning and I love seeing our Super Mamas tag on Peloton, and it makes me so happy. It's like, I've always dreamed of this since I've had this bike. But the Super Mamas, this is a Super Mamas working out right now. She's taking the 30-minute cold play, right, with Emma Lovewell. So, like, I just love our tag. We're 27 members strong on Peloton. So, mamas, if you're listening right now and you have a Peloton, please follow our leaderboard tag, which is hashtag Super Mamas. And you can just see. I love seeing, like, what the moms are into and who they're into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much fun. If maybe we could do like a shared ride sometime, you know. Paulina's just too hardcore though. I'm more like 20 minutes. That's like, I don't do longer than 20 minutes. If I do longer than 20 minutes, I'll do a 30 minutes arms ride, 30 minute arms intervals. I have like my, I, you know me, you know, I'm just like dad. I have like the method. And I think like my method, you know?
Yeah.
So
what's your method?
My method, I do, like, lately I've been doing 3 days on, 1 day off, 3 days on, 1 day off. But the off day is my, one is a rest and the other one's a recovery.
Yeah.
So I'll do three on, and the three, I start with 20 minute. I do like 20, 30, 30, 20, 45. That's the way I put it in my mind. So I'll do 20 minute ride with a 30 minute strength training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually full body always. And then I'll do day two, I'll do a 30 minute arms and interval ride.
Yeah.
And then a 20 minute like yoga. So mm-hmm. Or I'll do 20 minute and 30 minute yoga on day two. I don't do strength back to back anymore. And then day three, I'll do a 45 minute like full body strength training only, no bike. Mm. And then my fourth day is my rest day. My recovery day. And I'll like, today was my recovery day. And I literally did 50 minutes of like, I did 40 minutes of foam rolling and 10 minutes of stretching. Mm. And then I'll do the same thing all over again, but I'll just do stretching and no foam rolling. So I'll do foam rolling only like once a week, like hardcore.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also like depending on what day it is and what's happening. Sometimes like on the weekend, I'll do a longer, or like, I'm like, eh,
no. Yeah. See, I used to be like that, but now I have to do like, okay, we're going 3-1-3-1-3-1, because I used to get in my head of like, it's Saturday, I'm going to do this. It's Sunday, I'm going to do that. And then like, sometimes I was just going back to, I remember what Arthur would say it to me, like Jimmy, our friend who was a trainer, and just the importance of like combining strength and then days of recovery. So again, it's just like my method, you know, for me.
Yeah.
But I just love seeing, like what other people are doing, what other classes they're taking, and like what's popular with their leaderboard tag.
I know. I'm all about the music. If I feel the music, I'm like, yeah. If I'm not, I'm like, you know, I can see it on the outputs. I'm like, I did the other day the Beyonce ride again, and mm-hmm. I broke my PR again. And I was like,
all right.
It's all about the music. I love it. I have a huge playlist of all the things that of the Peloton music. And sometimes I play it at home, and I'm just like in a better mood when I listen to my playlist.
That's so funny. I'm all about the 2000 ride, the 2000s ride. Like, I realized that this is mi época, the 2000s.
Es mi época. Anyway, well, let's dive into the show, Bricia. Who do we have on the show today? Gosh.
Who do we have on the show today? Today on the show, we have the incredible, awesome, aspirational, I don't even know how many adjectives you can use for this woman, mujer, increíble, like, just listening to her made me feel like so inspired,
yeah,
to do more and just understand like the importance of the impact one person can have in an entire generation. Sarai Espinosa Salamanca is the founder and CEO of Dreamers Roadmap, which is a mobile app platform that helps undocumented students navigate the necessary resources to access higher education. I just feel like she's so much more than that. She's like ultimate chingona, again, inspiring and just, you know, a testament of really the power of one, the power of one person.
Why she did the app and her story was so touching and inspiring. And also, like, I don't know, it just made me make like an audit of my life and like my parents as well. I felt like the way that she looks and looks up to her parents and honors her parents, like, just really touched me. And you know, all the life that she's changing and in like how she just went for it. So you guys are, this is a really good episode for parents that are getting prepared to send their kids off to college. Or if you want to go back to school and you don't know what to do, I think this is going to be a great episode for you. Take notes and share. So yes, without further ado, here is your episode with Sarai Salamanca.
Welcome to the show, Sarai. We're so happy to have you. We admire and love you so much. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Yes. I'm so excited to finally be here. I'm a huge fan of y'all and your food and your restaurant and your Instas and your show, of course. it's my honor, al contrario, to be here with y'all and having this awesome conversation.
Oh, well, you know, we are so excited as well. We've been following each other, I guess, for a while now, and you're doing amazing things out there. I was like, we need to have this girl. So for the people that don't know who Sarai is, please tell us who you are, who you're quarantining with, what do you do? Tell us all about you, girl.
So hello, everyone. My name is Sarai Espinosa Salamanca. My official title is founder and CEO of Dreamers Roadmap, a free national mobile app where we help undocumented young people find scholarships to go to college. I've been doing this for the past 5 years. I am a mother of two wonderful little girls. I quarantine with my husband, with my girls and my suegros, and just finished another pod where we were also, I mean, involved with us was all of the folks that volunteered for our Supplies for Farm Workers campaign.
That's awesome. Huh? Quarantining with the suegros, huh? That's the first one.
Yeah, they're like the only ones in our pod, like the only people that we go to, like, es la única otra casa la que vamos.
Well, talking about that, tell us, how have your personal relationships been going in quarantine? I know for everyone it's so different, and like, this is the first that we hear that, like, oh, you know, I'm with my parents, but you're like with the suegros, you know, and how the husband and the suegros and, you know, your Latina. I really want to know.
And you work. Yeah, girl. No, you know, like, I'm very blessed. I did marry a Mexicano. He's not a machista. He's not celoso. He helps me with the girls. Es como dice mamá, like, I got the one in a million type of man. And my suegros don't fall far from it. You know, my suegra is super supportive. My suegro igual. They're very supportive, you know. Yes, no te voy a decir que it's always rainbows and butterflies. We've had our little altercations here and there con la suegra. But we figure it out, you know. We hash it out. And we give it some time, sit it out. Yeah. Then we fix it, and yeah, we're best friends again. But it's been a blessing, you know. Like, I'm very blessed to have a very supportive family and system. And I think that has really kind of helped me give that, like, kind of liberty, if you will, to really get into all of these crazy projects and adventures. Because si no fuera por el apoyo de ellos, you know, like my man taking care of my girls, like when I'm out and about doing my thing, or like my suegra traveling with me when I'm having to do these talks like across the country, I really wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm very blessed for sure on that aspect of, like, I'm able to do what I do because of their support.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that it's a positive story and not like the other way around, you know.
100%.
The typical story of like, ay, mis suegros, you know. So I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do want to talk a little bit about your app and Dreamers Roadmap. And maybe why don't we start by explaining to our listeners what the Dreamers Roadmap is?
Yeah, for sure. So Dreamers Roadmap is a free national mobile app. So anybody who has a smartphone can go look for Dreamers Roadmap and download it into their platforms. Kind of the story behind the creation of Dreamers Roadmap is based on my personal story. I'm an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. I came when I was 4 years old. I went through the whole educational journey, you know, since I was really little, the youngest of 11, but the first one in my family to try to have this kind of mission and vision of going to college. So on top of being the first generation.
Wait, one second. I'm gonna pause you right there. You're the youngest of 11 children?
Yes.
So you have 10 siblings?
I do.
So there's you and then there's 10 other people. Do you call brothers and sisters?
Yeah, from the same mom. My mom had a first marriage and had 4 children and then married my dad and had 6.
Wow.
Madre de mi corazón. Wait. You say you're the youngest one. God bless your mother, by the way. God bless her, your mother and her womb. But how many women, how many men? I want to hear a little more. Because I'm just like, because you cut off there for a second. And all we heard was youngest. And then like the word 11. And I was like, wait, did she say she was like 11 and then the other younger? Her other sibling, the youngest, was 11? Or did she say she was the youngest of 11 children?
No, yeah. I am the youngest of 11 children. I believe we're 5 girls and 6 boys, I think. I lost count. I don't keep track. Ya no sé. My mom probably knows better than me. Pero si somos 5 mujeres y 6 hombres.
Wow.
One of them passed away, so we're now 5 and 5. One of the boys, actually, my would be my oldest brother, who was 5 when my mom was pregnant of me, passed away porque le picó un alacrán en México.
Oh my God.
And then hence the reason why my name was just going to be Consuelo. That's my middle name, because I was going to be like the comfort to the loss of her child. And then somebody from church, of course, comes in and is like, oh, ponle Sarai, it means princess in the Bible. And she's like, okay. So my name is Sarai Consuelo. The last little, ¿cómo es que dicen? Like el pilón. She's like, I didn't even know I could get pregnant. She was 45 when she had me. So, hey, all those.
She's like, I didn't know I could get pregnant for the 11th time.
Yes, girl. She was like, okay, I guess I'll get pregnant one more time.
God bless your mother's womb. We should have just, I mean, geez. Yeah, it's stories like these that I'm like, sometimes I think about what I complain. I'm like, girl, you need to stop complaining. Live your life.
Honestly, yeah.
You do not have 11 children and do not have 11 kids without a washing machine. Because that's some real shit right there.
Girl, yeah. Well, I don't know how she did it. Yeah, because ellos vivían allá en la sierra and like in the middle of nowhere. Si acaso tenían. I have a feeling they like even al arroyo a lavar, girl. There was no washing machines out there.
Yeah, no. Like my parents.
Hola, hola.
Yeah.
Like my mom. Cada chamaco lave su ropa.
I mean,
aquí tienen un pedacito de jamón cada quien. Haga lo que quiera con
un pedacito de sote a cada quien.
There you go.
Just, you know,
sote. Yes,
sote is not about the sote, man. No, yeah. I mean,
they just. Y el fab.
Ándale.
So anyway, let's go back to your story.
Sorry. I just needed a pause because I think all the moms were like, needed a pause right there for a second and hold a special moment. Let's hold a moment for your mom.
For your mom.
Okay, so I'm like, send her some good vibes. And then continue. So Dreamers Roadmap, how it started. You were the youngest of 11. You came here. You were undocumented. You went through the entire school journey. And then...
My junior year of high school, we go to a financial aid workshop at UCLA. I went to high school in North Hollywood, and we're learning all about FAFSA. And I'm like, chido, you know, like I'm going to apply for FAFSA, like all my friends. Y todo el pedo. Entonces, out of nowhere, they're like, okay, like, you know, filling out the application, because by this time, my parents had already decided to self-deport to Mexico. That social security question came up, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to call my mom. Yo me quedé con mi little valise, you know, of like where all the important papers are. I didn't find anything that's her social security number on it. So I was like, hey, Ma, what's my social? Because I need to finish this application. And this is the moment for me where I find out that I was an undocumented immigrant. como que toda la vida, like, I knew that we were immigrants, but never knew that I was undocumented. And especially what that meant for me pursuing higher education, right? Being the first one again in my family, figuring all of this stuff out. I'm the first one to bump into all of these things. So I go to my counselor, le digo mi situación. I'm like, hey, oiga, you know, like, this is where I'm at. Like, FAFSA is not an option for me. Like, what else can I do, you know? And I was like this super geeky, nerdy kid, like straight A's. Like, I was in theater, like todo el rollo, in and out of school. I was involved in community service. Because my mi norte was college, you know, like I really have to go to college. Mm-hmm. For me, like that was the way that I was going to pay or repay my parents for the sacrifice mm-hmm. of them leaving their country, you know, their language, their friends, their family. Like, era todo por nosotros, you know, to get a better life. And for me, that was an education. Entonces la doña, you know, without even thinking about it, she's like, oh, you know, like people like you don't go to college. Mm. Y así como que exactly, yes, it took me back. I was like, excuse me? Like, what the hell do you mean, people like me? Like, what does that even mean?
What am I,
you know? Like, here I am growing up thinking I'm this like all-American little kid, you know, hella geeky, like ready to go to college, and she's like, people like you. I was like, child, what are you talking about? And for me, it was a super super like hard moment, because it mm-hmm. was like,
right, especially coming from someone like of authority, you know. I think we often, you know, we're grown ups now, you know, so we forget what that means for us when we're kids. I mean, obviously, right now we're like, girl, what are you talking about, you know? But I think when you're there, when you're a junior in high school, you're 16 years old, you come from, you know, an immigrant background where you're taught to just hear authority, and like, and then for someone like that, a teacher, like to them, they're like, it's like your elder to tell you that. It's so yes. demeaning and just soul crushing to a child who can't even talk back because you're afraid to talk back.
Yeah. And I didn't talk back. Like, I obviously, es como dices tú, like now I'm an adult, in retrospect, I think all these things, like, what the hell do you mean? I obviously mm-hmm. didn't say that to her. You know, she no. said those words to me and I froze. Wow. Like, I don't even, I think I just blanked. Like, I don't know yeah. what happened after. Like, I don't know if I like stayed there, if I went back to class, like if I went home, like I have no idea what happened. Because it just took me out of like the blue, really. And I think for me, like, mire como que todo so, like, kind of like life being sucked out of you, you know, like, what do you mean? Like, I can't, what do you, no, like this, no, this was not part of the plan. Like, I was supposed to go to college right after high school. Like, I stayed in this country by myself because I'm supposed to go to college. Like, how are you going to tell me that I can't continue?
Wait, you stayed here by yourself? Everybody was in Mexico?
So my parents left, right? So we lived in this little trailita in the backyard of my sister's house. And my parents decided to self-deport para juzgar su estatus through one of my sisters who was a citizen. So when they left to Mexico, they obviously asked me to come with them because I was 15, 16 years old. And I was like, no, like, yo no me quiero ir. Like, you know, like, I want to finish school. Like, yo según, again, plotting everything según yo in my head, I'm like, okay, si se van 6 meses, si regresan con su green card, ustedes regresan, like, I'm fine. Like, ustedes me arreglan cuando vengan. Like, según yo tenía mi plan perfecto, ¿no? Mm-hmm. Without ever thinking, you know, this is a scam. They're never going to be able to come back. The notario that told my sister this was a fraud. Wow. I wasn't going to come back if I left, you know? So I stayed. I mean, obviously I didn't know all of this, but I stayed because I said 6 months is way too long to be out of school. Like, it's going to delay my mm-hmm. plans. Again, sticking to like my nerdy geeky side. I was like, I can't leave school, mom. Like, I'm going to be fine. Like, just leave me here. I'm going to be fine. You know, so I stayed with a sister of mine, which then I left her house because I didn't feel comfortable. And I went to a brother's house. Y ahí lo mismo. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel welcome. I was just kind of la rimada always, you know. And then I just spoke to one of my friends who lived with her mom. It was just her and her mom. And they rented like a little garage ahí in LA. And I would sleep in their sala for like the last year of high school.
Wow. Wow. Damn,
so, yeah, like I kind of was by myself at this age, you know, and it was really hard. Like, even like ahorita que digo yo, holy crap, like I was hella little. Like, what was out here
yeah.
by myself in big ass LA, you know, thinking I can do everything. And I was just a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And your discipline, and your discipline to just continue with school and be a good student.
I know.
Girl, if my parents would have left me alone at 15, 16, woo, boy, I would not be having those grades, let me tell you. Let's just keep it at that.
No, sí, pero yeah, I've always been a little weird. I think ever since I was really little, you know, I think seeing the way that we grew up, seeing the way that my mom was treated by even our own family, I always had this sense of like arrimados. We were never welcome, and it was sickening. I'm like, this is not fair. Like, why do they treat her like that? You know, like, why do you treat us like that? Like, it's not like my mom, obviously, ya llegó grande, ella no hablaba el idioma, ella se dedicaba a la casa, you know, like the majority of older generations. Mm-hmm. Of immigrants in this country. Yeah, yeah. Y pues obvio le cuidaba los hijos a mis siblings. So it's like, where do you want her to go? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, just seeing all of this mistreatment and like just almost hatred, I feel at times from our own family was really what motivated me. And I was like, girl, you don't have time to slack off. So even at like, te digo, desde bien chiquita, like I knew like that I had to get my shit together. I couldn't afford to mess up.
Yeah. Wow.
And to really have that mentality, I think I didn't really, I don't, que digas tú, like, oh, de niña me acuerdo que jugaba esto. Like, I don't remember doing any of that because I had to grow up so fast. You know, I had to think like an adult, like I was on survival mode since I could remember because we didn't have the stability. So para mí era eso, you know, like era como que you can't afford to mess up because the only way out of this is to go to college.
Right. Wow.
So, sí, entonces esta mujer me dice esto y así como que casi me vuelvo loca, you know, like I fell into like a very deep depression. Like I couldn't find the words to tell my mom. Pensé que me iba a regañar because I was like, oh my God, like por eso te dejé, like y ahora no vas a ir. Pero todo lo contrario, dude, like, oh my God, my mom, dijeras tú, bless her soul. Super understanding, like, mija, no te preocupes, like, you're gonna figure it out, like, mamá, pero es que no sé, like, yo no sé qué hacer, like, yo, no puedo trabajar, no puedo sacar mi licencia, no puedo viajar, like, ¿qué voy a hacer? No puedo ir a la escuela, like, what can we do, you know? Mm-hmm. So I felt that I was in this kind of space where, literal, like, who am I? Like, what did this person mean when she meant people like you? Like, I was living this life, like, almost like a lie, if you will. To kind of come to realize that I was put in this box because of a broken immigration system of the place that I called home. And I right. think that was the hardest thing, you know, like this is my home. This is my culture. These are my friends. Like, ¿a dónde quieres que me vaya? Like, I can't go back to Mexico, even though I love it now that I can travel back. But even then, like, no me hallo, you know, like, yo soy de aquí. So, entonces, esta doña me dijo todo eso, and it just became, it was really hard. I still managed to keep my grades up, though I graduated with honors, but it was a hellhole. Like, the rest of the year was just todo nublado, you know, like, ya no sabía ni qué decir, con quién juntarme, a quién decirle la situación en la que estaba, which I think was the hardest part of it all, that you kind of come to this realization that you're now this person or these people, but who can you tell?
Yeah.
Like, who is it safe to tell? Mm-hmm. And when you tell these people, how are they going to treat you differently? Yeah. You know? So era mucho de miedo del que dirán, like mucho como vergüenza hasta eso. Y like graduation day, I think for me was the hardest. Porque fue el día que, o sea, todo lo que había sentido en ese año, like, was really shoved in my face, you know? Todas las familias en las gradas, like, airing up their signs, que yes, que saber que UCLA, que se va para quien sabe dónde. Y yo, like, one of my sisters came to my graduation. Y, like, I could see her, like, from a distance. And they were just kind of sitting there, you know? Y, oh, girl, me dolió bastante. Because I was like, where am I going? Mm-hmm. You know? Y when it was my rose turn to get up and walk the stage, girl, I was paralyzed. No me podía parar. I could not for my life get up. Y, like, my friends were like, dude, like, get up. Like, it's our turn. Y no podía. Como que estaba atorada. Mm-hmm. Porque for me, like, it was like this sensation of like, yes, all these classmates are singing and they know exactly what's next. As soon as I crossed, like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. Like, I have no idea. And it was just something so heavy que, o sea, es un sentimiento que no le deseo a nadie. Es algo muy feo. Y I think, and that for me was the motor, if you will, to start doing my own internal research on, like, am I really alone in this? Like, is this really just me? Or why aren't we talking about this? This was back in 2008 when I graduated from high school.
And also, I just want to say that you were such a mature child. Because honestly, at that age, kids are not thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? They're just like, oh my God, I'm about to be 18. I'm about to party. I'm about to do this. Like, this is so much fun. I mean, I don't, you know, I think there's only like a few people, and it takes a special kind of person to be like, oh my God, once I cross the stage, what am I going to do with my life at such a young age? So, you know, I just want to hold a little space for you there, because it's something that it's commendable, and you were, you know, it just speaks volumes about who you are as a person. That's amazing.
Thank you. Y si es como te digo, you know, like it wasn't easy. It I don't think it ever got easy. Porque siento así como que I was just pushed into this space where I couldn't think like a child.
Yeah.
You know, I was put in a situation where I was kind of like, you have to figure it out, Sarai. Like, it's your responsibility to care of your parents, because you're the only one who actually cares about where they are and how they live and how they're treated. You know, like, maybe seeing my siblings did like my parents and like appreciate them in their own way. But for me, and the way that I saw it, like, to see my mom go to sleep crying every day, you know, after like a super long day of like cleaning the house and watching their kids. Y aparte que llegan y le griten. O sea, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not fair. Like, why do you do? O sea, ¿en qué te crees?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, like, you know, like, it was really, really hard. Pero te digo, I started doing this research and I found that there was about like 50,000 students in my situation graduating every single year. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, what the hell are we doing about that? Like, what are we doing to help these kids know that they can go to college, know that they can continue? Porque as I obviously left high school, left LA, came to the Bay Area, I found out that we could go to college. You know, that we had in-state tuition here in California for Dreamers. We had then the BOG waiver opened up for us as well. We had the California Dream Act, which was the equivalent of FAFSA for us. And I was just enraged on, like, why didn't my counselor know this? Why didn't she tell me that this existed? I could have gone straight to a university. Mucho coraje. Mucho, porque dije, damn, man. Like, I could have gone straight to a college if she knew this.
Yeah.
Y al pasar de los años, ya no siento tanto resentimiento towards her. Because I'm like, yo, if you're from LA, you know LA schools are packed as hell. Mm-hmm. Pobrecita counselor, si acaso tenía unos 300 chamacos that she had to overview. And maybe she just didn't know, and that's what she knew. Mm-hmm. But kind of like, not to validate the way she said it either, you know, but I'm like, she could have been a little more like, you know, light about it. And like,
what year did you graduate from high school?
In 2008.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Also, we have to remember that a lot has changed, even though I know we're in a situation. I mean, it's 2021, and I know that things are far from being fair in this country. You know, far from being fair and you know, far from being close to having a just system. But we have to take in consideration how far our community has come.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, 2008, I graduated from high school in 2002, and I still remember the same thing. We are all in the same boat. Same thing for my sister and myself. Same story. Okay. So I remember my teacher telling me that, you know, I was probably going to end up pregnant anyway. So like, why even bother? Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, these are things that I'm sure still happen today.
Oh yeah.
But not at the magnitude they were happening before. It was just like normalized. I think now there's a lot more awakening in our community, but let's just put ourselves back. This is 2008. Like, there's no talk of social justice. There's no talk of mental health. There's no talk of anything. It's just, you know, it's just blatant racism without us seeing it as that. It was just acceptance, you know, acceptance of this is who we are, and then that's it. And we're at the last, and because we're immigrants, we're so afraid. And
yeah.
I think also our parents still let in us. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't talk back because we might get deported.
Yep.
Like the idea that if you talk back to a teacher, you can get deported is real. And I don't think people that grow up as citizens don't understand that children who grew up as immigrants are afraid of everything. Yeah, I mean, like everything, it's like you're going to get deported. Like you're going to don't jaywalk because you're going to get deported. So like it's that fear is absolutely real. So I just want to take consideration because obviously it is very much her fault, the counselor, but also it's 2008. Right. And I really hope and pray to God that counselors are a little bit more educated, but that's what you're here to change the world. And to think that like you're that all that anger and frustration and all that you channel it into something positive into what Dreamer Roadmap has become today in your life's work. It's so admirable. And I think it's going to inspire so many kids. And, you know, I'm sure you receive letters of people whose lives you're changing, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. And I think for me, like, that's like, it's wild, you know, when I created Dreamer's Roadmap, and maybe I'll finish first how it got created, and then I'll get into this because it's super important. Pero sí, o sea, long story short fue eso, ¿no? Pasé this like super terrible experience that is not unique. This is something that, como dices tú, so many of us went through and continue to go through. Y te digo, I started doing this research, found out that there was more people like us, that there was nothing being amplified on a solution base for this problem. And it started off as a blog in 2012. And then in 2014, Voto Latino launched a competition called the Voto Latino Innovators Challenge. Basically a call to action for anybody in the country to solve a problem using technology. Entonces, I think for me being in the Silicon Valley, I already kind of had that like tech bug already in me of like creating this little blog for like California dreamers. And a friend of mine sent it and he's like, yo, like, I think you should apply so you can get funding for what you're doing. ¿Qué es otra cosa? It's like a whole other conversation, girl, of like how we don't get paid for what we do. I'm like, oh, no, it's a passion project. Like, I'll just do it. It's like, no, girl, that's your time. Like, get paid. So I thank my friend for that because he'd always remind me, like, get paid for what you do. Like, find a way to get paid for your passion project. I was like, okay, I see you. So thank you, Teek, if you hear this ever. Appreciate you, fam. Entonces, I applied. I applied to this competition. By this point, I had DACA. I applied for that in the fall of 2012. Entonces, you know, here I was in community college at this point, and I pitched this idea that I wanted to create an app, and I como pude, verdad, because I am the founder of a tech company in the Silicon Valley, but I don't code. Like, yo como le explicaba a la gente, it's like, I'm the CEO, como fue, no, I'm the Steve Jobs of my company, les decía. Like, I have the idea in my mind. I can sketch it out for you in a napkin if you want, but I can't code it. Like, I'll tell you exactly how I want it. Once you start building it, I'll tell you yes, no, dale pa allá, dale pa acá, make it lighter, make it darker, whatever. And that's how I made it to the top six, girl. I legit did my little sketch demo on Word using shapes. I pulled a phone from Google, put a bunch of little shapes on top of it. I'm like, okay, look. This is not the prettiest deck you're going to see, but it's going to get the point across. I want the apps to go here. I want the comments to go here. The students are going to log in through here. It's going to be a national app. Todo mi pitch, no, según yo, how I wanted the app to look. Yeah, towards the end of my pitch, which was like a whole ass, like even journey of its own, the judges, which happened to also be celebrities, which I was like, damn, y'all should have warned us. Like el Wilmer Valderrama, which is like, oh my God. Rosario Dawson, America Ferreira, super, super dope people that are now like mentors of mine. I think it was Wilmer that asked, like, okay, this is super cool. Like, where are you going to get the money? You'll be in, like, this is another thing, you know, that my mom taught me. She's like, tú se firme en lo que quieres y a lo que vas. And I was like, oh, well, you guys are going to give me the money. Like, hella serious. Like, hella serious. That's how I ain't gonna know.
Well, that's what it takes.
I love it. And then we just all started laughing, like, it's the girl. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's what I came for. I came for my money. Ya al final de la noche empiezan a anunciar los ganadores, X cosa. And then Wilmer announces my name, and I was like going crazy. I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. Al día siguiente me avisan that I had won first place in the country, which meant I got $100,000.
See, you dream it and you build it. And wow.
So I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, like all these freaking sleepless nights, doing all this research on how you kind of do this pitch thing and toda la cosa. And like, and it was so wild, you know, porque like, te digo, living in the Silicon Valley, I feel like people think like, ah, like, ya todos saben cómo hacerle. It's like, girl, I have no idea. Like, this is uncharted territory for me. Like, I was probably the less tech-savvy person in the top six of this competition. Like, I was a community college student. I was competing against people from, like, Stanford and Brown and Yale. And I was like, ay, Dios mío, qué aquí. But just really sticking to my story, you know? Like, yeah. Yo como le dije like, so like people when they talk to me about it, like, oh, like even asking me for pitching tips, I'm like, oh no, do not ask me for that because I don't know how to do that. Like what I did was I shared my story. Like my story was the problem. I came up with the solution, but I didn't have to prepare a pitch. I'm like, I lived the problem.
Authenticity. That's what it's all about.
So I'm like, I shared my story, what my lived experience and how I wanted to fix that. And that's what got me that 100K. Was I come home to the Silicon Valley, I hire some engineers, some like designers, y te digo con mi little sketch ahí se los aventé y allá háganlo como más o menos vean que va. Y así it took us about, I want to say 6 months, 4 to 6 months to go from beginning to end, and we launched in April of 2016. And we've been able to have about 30,000 plus people have access to this information.
Wow.
And yeah, girl, it's been wild. Like it's gotten us on like Forbes. It's like we've like been written about in China. Like just before y'all, I was doing an interview for somebody in Norway and I'm like, what the heck? Like this is wild. And like it's so crazy to think, right? Like how this one moment I think was preparing me for all of this, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a very spiritual person. So yo como digo, it's like, and I'm not going to lie, like, yes, como les digo, like it was really hard. Like after graduation, my depression got to a point where I got like suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. La misma vez, you know, like I got on my knees and prayed to God to forgive me for even getting to that point. And I just had to be strong, you know, like I called my mom in Mexico and I was like, Mama, like, I'm sorry. I was about to take my life. And pues ahí estamos las dos llori llores, ¿qué pasó? Like, and you know, like mom being her, like, no pasa nada, mija, usted aguántese, like todo va a estar bien, like estoy para usted, like we're going to figure this out. Like God has a plan. Ooh. And just like, you know, hearing her and like that, just having that in the back of my mind on like whatever it is that you believe. Like, but for me, it was like that God was on my side. Like he did have a plan for me. And part of the plan was that I did have to go through all of that to build that tenacity and that grit to really get me to where I am today, which was this platform that has now changed the lives of thousands of people. Y como dices tú, you know, like in the beginning, and I remember it was like one of the first interviews that Forbes came to do at our office was like, what does success mean for you? And I recall like telling them, you know, like, honestly, dude, like if I see one, like if I can change the life of one person, of one other like Sarai out there and let them know that they can go to college after high school, that's success for me. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that thousands of emails were going to come in from parents, from students, from teachers. And like just like a couple weeks ago, one of my interns from, I believe, 2017, he sent me a text and he's like, hi Sarai, I just wanted to let you know you're one of the first people I tell that I just graduated from Sonoma State.
Wow.
Girl. Oh my God, it makes me so happy, you know, because they're like, oh my God.
It's so amazing.
They're doing it. And so I never finished college. And I'm okay. Like I'll figure it out. If it's in my cards to do it, I'll do it. But to hear the stories from my students, you know, and to see the joy that they have and to have finished college and for us to have a little piece of that success story, it's, oh my God, like, oh, it's the best feeling in the world. Because I know what that would have felt like. I know what that means for them.
Yeah.
I know what that means for their parents.
For the community.
And that's a win for everyone, dude. A win for everyone. For them, como dices tú, for the community, for the country. Mm-hmm. Like, these kids are so hungry to just study and succeed and be accepted. And this, unfortunately, right? Like we're in a capitalistic world where like these papers do mean so much mm-hmm. in our society. So como te digo, you know, to have Dreamers Roadmap and the work that we've put out be part of these kids' success stories, it's the best thing in the world. I couldn't have dreamed of something better to be part of their life. And
that's
to,
amazing.
You know, to have them say,
"See, yeah." I was reading, I'm reading this book on leadership, and they were saying that, you know, if you, problems are like files, like they file you, you know, como lijas, they file you to mold you to get to the point where you're going to be like, oh my God, it was all worth it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're always going to have these challenges and problems, but they're preparing you, you know, God is preparing you for the future. They say the bigger the problem, the bigger the reward. Ooh. So I truly believe that. I believe that, you know, God puts us through challenges because, you know, there's going to be, you're going to one day look back and be like, that was worth it. That was totally worth it. I get it now. And you were preparing me for all of this, you know, like he always says, like, I'm going to give you a little because that's all you're ready for. I'm going to give you a lot when you're ready for a lot.
Ready for it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I love what you're doing. It's like, it makes me want to cry to hear your story.
Thank you so much.
And so, but right now that how are things changing now with this whole pandemic for students? I know that a lot of our super mamas have kids in high school and they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do. What are some of the tips that you can give them? What are some resources? How can they find the app? What are some things to help parents and children?
And how can they support you? Like, how can we support the app?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you can find the app, like I mentioned, if anybody who has a smartphone anywhere in the world, really, it's like a global, it's accessible globally, but it's only benefiting like in the United States. So anybody with a smartphone can look in their App Store or Google Play and look for Dreamers Roadmap and download it. What you'll find when you download it is two options to either create a profile or go to Explore. Explore is kind of like a master Google search where you'll see every single scholarship on our database in order by date. And then if you create an account, and again, this is for both educators, community leaders, and students, you put in your name, you create a username, and then you put the state that you live in, whether or not you have DACA, and your educational level. Con esos three filters, it's going to funnel down to the scholarships within our database that you qualify for, which makes your search a lot easier because we have about, I want to say, 300 scholarships right now on the app. So así para que no vayas uno por uno checking, like ya te lo hacemos a little bit easier. So then I think my suggestion to parents is just, I think I want to take a step back and just say kudos to parents in this era, like this pandemic. Oh my God. Like I cannot imagine, like my kids are little still. So they're not in like full on like tarea and like deliverables, you know, my oldest is in pre-K. So, I mean, she just has to kind of play and come home and come with a little art projects and whatnot. Pero Dios mío, like que Dios me los bendiga y que les siga dando fuerza a estos papás that really have kids in middle school and even elementary school in these grades where they're like learning to like read and like math and algebras and the trigs. And I remember those days, y híjole, man. And even going into it more like this whole digital divide situation and like the space that the kids need that not all of them have. Mm-hmm. Kudos to any student, any parent, any educator just hearing us out there. Like,
yeah,
y'all, may God bless you always. And we're going to get through this porque está bien canijo ahorita. For so many of our kids are hurting. So many of them are struggling academically because of the situation that we're currently living. And I understand how it can be even more so frustrating, right? When you don't have the regular access to people or resources that you usually have when you can go in person. You know, if you're like a proactive parent, you're going to go into the counselor's office. You're going to go into that financial aid office. So right now, what I encourage folks to do is do it via phone, you know, call your schools, like call your financial aid offices. If you're planning to send a student to community college, and I don't know if folks know, but in California now, community college is free for the first 2 years. For any student going for the first time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's another super great resource for folks out there who are considering community college. I went to community college and I loved it. Like, if I could do it all over again, I'd do it. So it's that. So calling either your high school counselor, trying to figure out a communication with your counselors, and hopefully they have a little bit better information than they gave me. But then also, if you have like a senior already looking into colleges, I encourage you to, again, contact the financial aid office, try to find allies on campus, or like even the EOPS offices who help you with books and other financial assistance that you may need as a first gen low-income student.
Are you talking about the offices on the college that you want to go to or in high school?
So both. So first start with your high school counselors, right? Because you want to, I mean, again, not everybody has the connections with them. And again, depending on the place in California that you're in, the communication can be limited. But I'd encourage you to speak to the high school counselor first. That can give you like a little bit of more guidance on like next steps. If you feel like that's not going to be doable and and that's just not going to do you any benefit, I'd say just skip the high school counselor and go straight into the colleges, right? Like, you're planning, even if you're planning to go to community college, like, call the community colleges, get in touch with the financial aid office, with the admissions office, and also, of course, with any UCs, privates, or CSUs that you're planning to attend, or parents that are trying to help their children apply for these colleges. I think communication is key, right, with so many of the things that we do in our life, and college is not the exception. The more communication that you have with the campus, the better you're informed. And I just really encourage folks to not be afraid to ask questions, like, because you are probably not the first or the only person with that question. If it's not clear on their website of something that you're wondering about, please, please, please call or email the admissions office and really ask those questions. If they don't email you back, call them. If they don't call you back, then go up and call the school district. But keep calling. You have to really be proactive, which I know can be very difficult for a lot of us in the Latino community, especially if there's a language barrier on top of that. So again, if the parents can't do these calls, I really encourage the students to make these calls. Porque ahorita, you know, we have to all kind of vet for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd encourage folks to do right now.
Does the app, is the app only targeted to undocumented students, or can any student, because like there's some people that like that have come to me and they're like, oh, you know, my child is going to apply. And I really don't know about this FAFSA situation. I don't know, where do we find scholarships? So I would love to share this information with her. So would they be able to find information for even kids that are citizens, but their parents are not?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, the quick answer is no. Dreamers Roadmap was specifically tailored for undocumented young people just because their search is a lot harder. Mm-hmm. So if you're a citizen of this country and you just put scholarships for high school seniors, you qualify for that. Dreamers don't have that luxury. There is one website, though, that when I was in high school, I used it. I think it's still available. It's called fastweb.com. Mm. And fastweb.com had all these like random scholarships. Si tienes freckles, you get a scholarship. Like, if you're left-handed, you can apply for this scholarship. Si tienes, I don't know, siete lunares en la cara, like really random, very specific scholarships was that website. But I remember looking through it, you no calificaba para nada, because they all ask you to be like a resident or U.S. citizen.
And scholarships, are scholarships the same thing as student loans? I think like some people get that confused.
Oh, that's such a great question. And no. It's not the same thing. And pónganse trucha raza, because a student loan, it's a loan, like exactly what it says it is. Es un préstamo. You have to pay it back, okay? So that should be your last resort. I, again, encourage you to apply for these schools, ask them for financial aid, submit that FAFSA if you are eligible, and apply to as many scholarships as I can. So scholarships and grants are for you. You don't have to pay that back. So, again, that should be your top two priorities of everything and anything that you can pull and extract. I know right now also people are doing a lot of like GoFundMes and things like that. You can, I mean, you're welcome to do that as well if you feel you have like the network that would support you to meet your goal. But yeah, loans should definitely be your absolute last resort because you will have to pay that back.
With interest.
With interest. Yes, 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 yes. Any loan, y'all. Any loan.
It's unforgivable for the rest of your life.
It's going to be, you have to pay it back and with interest. And I believe depending on where you get the loan, they give you either like a 6 month, 1 year or 3 year gap on when you have to start paying it back when you graduate. So hay unos que a los 6 meses de que te gradúes, órale, you have to start paying. Wow. Y hay otros que al año y hay otros que a los 3 años. So pónganse truchas, really read those little tiny ass little lines in the bottom, those little disclaimers.
Just remember that student loans can never be forgiven under any circumstances. And I think a lot of people don't know, even if you declare bankruptcy, you cannot declare bankruptcy in a student loan. Student loans will haunt you for the rest of your life. So like Sarai say,
last.
Ponte trucha. Ponte
trucha. Sí, póngase trucha and leave that for your last resort, fam. Student loans.
And there's so much information out there. And what I admire about you, Sarai, is that you found a way. And when there's a will, there's a way. You know, like you. And it's really up to us. We had to take responsibility. I mean, and, you know, get to work. Get online. Look, there's so much money out there that goes untaken year after year.
And I think one other thing that I'd say on that note is I'd encourage students to really apply for those like $100, $500 scholarships because those on the research that I've done are the scholarships that go the most unclaimed. Probably those 100 ones are like, oh, just send me a picture to show me that you have 7 lunares en la cara. And then you get it. But I mean, I'm being super like, you know, extra and like a little dramatic. But the ones that like ask you for the ones that are lower are asking you for very few things. So no se, o sea, this is not a time para que se pongan a babones. Like, pónganse trucha, pónganse las pilas, and really like apply to everything. Like, don't discriminate on those like little $100, $500 ones. Porque si tú eres el único que aplicas, y aunque lo metas todo chueco, pero you send the right email, you're going to get it.
I have one last question. One last question. Are scholarships a bit, let's say me, right? I'm a mom. I like, you know, I'm past my high school years, but I want to go back to school. Are those kind of scholarships also available to like, you know, people that are not in high school?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I'm glad you asked that because I'm actually in that process myself. So again, like I went to school, I want to say the last time I went to community college was 5 years ago. So the way that I'm doing it right now is when I go back to school, it's going to be harder for me to get scholarships because I'm not a high school senior. I'm not going straight from a community college into a university. So what the school told me was that I'm applying in as a transfer student, right? Because I have all the required classes from a community college to get into the program that I want to get into at the 4-year level. Right. So I'm going in as a transfer student. The school just recently published that they have a new scholarship for transfer students. So esa scholarship from the school I can apply for. So that's why I'm telling folks, right, like really do the research on the school, what the school provides first before you go into like a loan option or any other options. Y sí, también, like, I'm sure if you do, like, any Google search, like, ahí te sale, like, what's the term that one of my mentors was using? Creo que se llama untraditional student, that's our category, right? Like, we're not, like, your typical transfer student or even student because we're out here, like, I'm in my third, like, I just turned 30, like, I'm a mom of two, like, I work, like, I need to go to a school that's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
Be flexible with where I'm in my life right now.
Awesome.
So the options will be limited, but I know they are out there. Como te digo, like esta escuela like just published that transfer scholarship, so I'm going to do that. And then another thing is I also encourage folks to look into local nonprofits that help first generation students get their tuition paid. I know I just found one here in my city. That's their whole focus. Like they kind of, it's an application process, right? Again, anything that you're going to apply for any financial support, you have to apply for it. But if you get in, like they help you pay, I think like 50% of your tuition.
That's so.
regardless of where in your academic trajectory you're in. So yeah. Cositas así, you know, y es eso, you know, es like el tiempo, el buscar, el preguntar, but, and just really putting it out there. Y yo pienso que es una de las cosas que a mí me ha ayudado mucho to get to the point of where I'm at or the success that I've achieved, if you will, is just really being vulnerable and real with people in the situations that I'm in. Like, hey, you guys, like, look, like, I don't know what the hell happened in my cuentas, pero todo me salió chueco. I need an accountant. Y lo pongo en Facebook y ya me manda la gente recomendaciones, and then I'll have somebody and then I figure it out. So I think es eso. También muchas veces como latinos y especialmente, I don't know if in mujeres, that's like a thing also, but we shy away from asking for help.
Yeah.
And we need to stay away from that stigma y quitarnos esa vergüenza o esa pena. Porque, o sea, sí, si acaso lo vas a lograr tú solo with hella stress y bien frustrada and like hours of research. But girl, if you just go on Instagram and Facebook, hey, comadres, like I need blah, 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 or I'm planning to do this. Like if y'all know of anything, girl, trust me, you're going to get a bunch of DMs.
Yeah.
With hella people telling you, oh, yeah, girl, I know of this person who does this, or I know of that scholarship who did, I'm a mom too, and I just got back and I applied for this scholarship. Use the power of your community. I think it's that's kind amazing. Of like my last yeah. note.
We will.
Yeah.
Thank yes. you so much. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes to everything help. You say. Said a yes or something. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much, Sarai. I know this information is going to be so great for our listeners. You are a vault of knowledge, and we should definitely have you back to talk about many other things because I know we only Thank touched you. A little bit of what you do. Where can our super mamas find you, follow you, ask you questions before we let you go?
Yeah, so y'all can follow our public account at Dreamers Roadmap. We are on Instagram. That's where we're the most active. We also have a Facebook. Mine is private.
No, it's
I know,
fine.
I know Adriana was like, oh, you need to make it public. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel a little weird. Like, I have children. I put my baby's pictures.
I'll accept it. But follow the app.
Salamanca1, my personal. And then the app is where you'll like find all the information and kind of like even other local and national events. We follow a lot of Dreamer resource centers from across the country. So we're on our stories. We try to always put like in New York, there's going to be a free DACA workshop. Oaxaca in San Diego, there's going to be a whatever project. That's where we put most of our information. So that's the best place to follow us. Yeah.
So great. Thank you.
I love you so much. Thank you for thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the pep talk. Thank you for everything. I can't wait to read your book one day.
I love you guys too. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here on your beautiful platform. Les quiero mucho. Besitos.
Bye, girl. Un beso.
Thank
un abrazo.
You.
Bye.
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 Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we're back on the show. That was such a good episode with Sarai. I love her. She is so inspiring and funny and like outgoing, and like, I want to keep with her.
I love the way she speaks. I love her voice.
Yeah. Tiene convicción y tiene, ¿cómo se dice? Como peso su voz.
Right. She's like, y pues esta señora me dijo, and I'm like, oh my God, you're like the best. You're the best. Everything you say, yes. Whatever you want to do, yes. Your answer to, like, for me, your answer with me anytime you want to do anything, yes. I love her. I love her.
I know. Me too. Me too. Me too. Me too.
She is a vibe. Paulina, our favorite segment of our episodes, our Super Mama Picker Tip of the Week, aka hashtag add to cart. What are you adding to your cart this week? What are you into?
Oh my God. I'm going to start giving the dog, what do you call it?
Segment. That's segment. Great.
Because you know,
perro, he's all forgotten and forgotten. I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. He's great. I love Diego. You know, at some point, my goal is for my dog to be like Diego and Choco and just calm and relaxed. Right now, he's like, you know, like a on one. We're in the training phase with my dog. And so I've been watching a lot of videos. And, you know, it's all I'm using a lot of training treats for the dogs because, you know, it's positive reinforcement. You know, and a lot of the times what they're saying is like, you have to, whenever you're touching him, give him a treat. Whenever you're sitting him, give him a treat. Whenever you want him to go on the crate, give him a treat. Like, it's a treat for everything. So he associates treats with good, you know, with good stuff, positive stuff. You know, if he pees out, like if he has an accident, you don't have no reaction. But if he pees outside, it's like, yay, here's a treat. Dame la pata, here's a treat. So we are loving this. It's called Zooks, mini natural training dog treats. They're natural. The other day, Sixta accidentally put one on her mouth and she didn't puke. So, you know, it's, they're all like, they have great ingredients for the dogs. And there are, if you are training your dog, I would highly recommend it because it's helped me so much. My dog, I was telling someone, either he's a really smart dog, and I'm like a great trainer. And I'm like the next.
Oh, good.
So that's my tip this week, dog treats.
That's, you know what, Paulina? Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I have, every time I order Diego food, I get a bag of treats for him. Like, it comes with the package that I'm subscribed to. I probably have like 5 bags here of treats that I can just
keep.
And I feel so bad every time they come. Like, poor dog gets no treats. I mean, at this point, he's like nine. Like, he listens. Like, he's like the most. He's super well trained, my dog. So it's like, at this point, I'm like,
send them to me. I need them.
That's kind of messed up. Like, this poor dude just didn't get treats. So you just reminded me to just like he needs to up his treat intake. But yes, I will send you these treats.
Treats and chews, like the raw things to chew. Those are the
I don't
best.
Have much chews. I can give you some old toys. Toys.
No, we don't need toys.
All right, so my pick is going to be a product that I've been loving. Elizabeth, our younger sister, she got me into this matcha turmeric superfood latte blend from a company called Goldie, right? G-O-L-D-E. I love converted. Haven't been drinking coffee since I got this shipment in. I'm on my second bag already. So, you know, like I'm into it. Once I use that product twice, that's when I know it. Okay. I love it. It's time to recommend. Company's Goldie. It's a matcha turmeric. It's a powder form. And the way I make my lattes in the morning, I just add a little bit of, I have this Breville frother. Electric frother that I got that I'm in love with. I honestly, best machine I ever bought. It was $99. That should be my pick. I don't know if I ever made it into my pick. So I had my milk there, and then it like spins it and heats it up at the same time. So once it's in there, it spins your milk and it heats it up. And while it's spinning, I add 2 teaspoons of this powder, a little bit of honey, and then just top it off with water. And it's just like so good. I kid you not. Like, I mean, I have like 3 a day. And like, I could drink this all day.
Does it give you the same like energy as a coffee? Like when it takes you, you know, or no?
You know what? When you talk to a matcha drinker, they'll like swear and it's like the best. And, you know, I personally just love the flavor. Like, I think it tastes so good. Like, imagine it's just, I genuinely love the latte taste. I mean, I definitely have more energy. I mean, I definitely have energy. And for me, it's like, definitely gives me just the right amount of energy, but then I have to have 2 more. Like, I feel like my coffee gave me a lot more, but I think the coffee put me in a bad mood.
Like jittery.
Not jittery. I think I just had shorter, like my patience were shorter. With this one, I feel like I can take more screaming. Okay. You know what I mean? Without losing my, without still, because sometimes I feel like I'm less on edge.
Mm.
If that makes any sense. I feel like sometimes, maybe this is not the right way of saying it, but I feel like coffee made me a little bit like, not angrier, but like more on edge, like not violent either. I think it's like, I could snap easier.
Okay. Definitely don't drink coffee anymore, Brisa.
Well, it depends what kind of coffee I drink too. There are some coffees that were just like really bad. Like if I have Café Legal, no, don't come near me. Like that will, no. But if I have like really great coffee, it gives me like a nice, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I love this one. Like I recommend it for those of you who are into matcha. Tastes beautifully. That's my pick. Awesome. And also that Breville frother, it's like ultimate. It's like so good. Get this one. It's the Breville. It's like you will have that and there's no need to like buy any lattes from Starbucks ever again.
Ooh. Yeah. I have the little handheld. I graduated to the little handheld, to the little $6 handheld from Target. Anyway. That is all the show we have for you guys today. Shopping, shopping, shopping. And you know, we will see you next week. Hopefully by then you will be back. You will be vaccinated, Rika.
So excited.
All right. Well, take care. Take care, ladies. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week, Super Mamas!